This is My Holy Land Still Grows, a Star Wars Legends, Star Wars Prequels Trilogy fanfic, written by Black Cat and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Padme Amidala Arla Fett, with additional tags for Alternate Universe Canon Divergence, Mandalore Arla Fett, Fluff, Part Comfort, Anakin Skywalker Critical. It's barely there, but like, just in case. Author's notes. Today's prompt was home. Arla is a strange thing in the polite, neat confines of Naboo. Padme doesn't fool herself into thinking that Naboo is anywhere near as idyllic as some people try to paint it. The politics are viciously cutthroat, and assassination and misdirection are Naboo's greatest art forms. It's a place that Padme loves without hesitation or restraint, but she has no illusions as to its civility. In the soft light of Lake Country, though, Arla is nothing like the sleek, deadly, familiar beauty of Padme's home. She moves differently, holds herself different even out of armor, and with the sun washing over muscles left obvious and on display, with the shadows curled over broad shoulders and scars and a tangle of stark tattoos, Arla is dangerous like a sword, not a knife in the dark. Padme likes it. She spent so long facing subtle dangers, hidden threats. Arla is a threat out in the open, obvious and easy in it. If she ever betrays Padme, it will be with a blaster to the chest, not a knife to the spine. After over a decade drowning in Naboo's politics on every side, knowing that is a comfort like no other. "What do you think?" she asks softly, stepping out onto the deck. The sun is setting over the lake, and a cool breeze blows from the hills, sweet with the smell of wildflowers. The light catches in Arla's golden hair, on the sleek shaved sides and the tangle of thin braids pulled back in the tail, and Padme can't help but reach out, slide a hand over Arla's broad shoulder. A hand catches hers, and Arla pulls, turns. She's smiling, lazy in the sunset, with an air of relaxation that Padme hasn't seen in her before. "I think it's a lot like Concord Dawn used to be," she says, tugging Padme in close. Her fingers skim the slant of pale yellow fabric over Padme's collarbones, and she smiles. "This is pretty." Padme smiles back, settling against her side. She hasn't worn this dress in years, too many memories tangled up in it, but it was always one of her favorites. Before Anakin. And she wants to wear it again. Regardless of anything that happened here, it's hers. And she's tired of putting aside things she loves because there was darkness once. "Thank you," she murmurs. And when Arla leans down for a kiss, Padme frames her cheek with one hand, takes the kiss gladly, and can't help the way her smile spreads. "I assume the Mandalore's wife should be presentable." Arla snorts, leaning back against the railing. "She's elegant," Padme thinks, and smooths a hand up the soft blue fabric of Arla's shirt. "Elegant and dangerous and kind." Padme's never encountered that combination outside of Jedi Masters, but it feels different in Arla. Closer to the surface, maybe. Jedi are monks before anything else. Arla is a Mandalorian. "If you want to be presentable in Kildabe, we still have to get you a suit of armor," Arla says, tipping her head. Padme raises a brow. "This is my armor," she counters. And when Arla pauses, she can't help but smile. raises her arm, sliding her fingers up Arla's shoulder, and shows her the draping fabric. It's blaster resistant, and it hides all of my weapons. There's a pause, and then Arla laughs, sweet and warm. My mistake, she says, amused. Her fingers trail up Padme's spine, then slide back down, and Padme shivers. I still want to give you Beskar bracers, though. Our head armorer has been talking with Sabe, and they're both enthusiastic about it. Sabe is certainly enthusiastic about something, Padme thinks, amused. Maybe not the potential of merging Mandalorian and Naboo styles, though. Or at least, not as much as Arla seems to assume. They seem to be working on something, she demurs. And when Arla raises a brow at her, she just smiles. I didn't realize Naboo and Conquered Dawn were similar. Something rueful flickers over Arla's face, and she shifts, looking out over the hills again. When she leans forward, crossing her arms on the railing, her braids spill down over her shoulder. And just for a moment, she looks younger, more vulnerable. From this angle, Padme can just see the Death Watch mark that's been tattooed over, covered by the true Mandalorian symbol in black and gold ink. It makes something in her chest lurch, and she slides a hand over it, covers it as she leans against Arla's side. Not now, maybe, Arla says after a moment, but back when I was a kid, it always seemed this peaceful. The Civil War didn't reach us until I was almost 14. Everyone around us had a farm, and everything was quiet all the time. Her smile is crooked. I always thought it was boring. And then Dor tried to stage a coup against our government, and nothing was ever boring again. It's still not boring, Padme thinks ruefully. Between the Republic's civil war, Mandalore's next bout of civil unrest, the Sith, it's been a very long time since the galaxy felt quiet. I became queen at 14, she says softly, tracing her fingertips over the polished wood of the railing. The wind is rising, raising ripples in the dark water, and it feels like a rainstorm is coming. Padme has always loved the Lake Country rainstorms, loud and fierce and perfect for curling up in front of a heater with a book. But right now, she thinks she'll just miss the sun. It might seem peaceful on the surface, but between the Trade Federation and the politics, it's never been at peace. But Padme closes her eyes, breathes out. I thought it was so lovely here, she says after a second, before I ran for queen. My sister and I would spend all day in the fields or in the lake. I always wish I could go back there. Arla slants her a glance, considering. Children never see the worries, she says, rueful, and twines their fingers together, stroking her thumb over Padme's palm. Still, it's beautiful here. She pauses and then smiles. Our second home for now. And then when I retire, it can be our first. It turns in Padme's chest, the idea that Arla is planning so many decades into the future. Planning for them and for this place where Arla stands out like a shark in still water. Arla deserves to be around other warriors who are open in what they are, not the cutthroat clandestine politics of Naboo. You don't have to promise that, she says softly. I knew when we married what it meant to be the Mandalore's wife. Even if we stay on Mandalore or go back to conquer Dun, I'll be happy with you. Arla just hums, watching her face.
I like seeing you in Keldabe, she says without hesitation. But sometimes I think it's like dragging a flower down into an underground bunker.
You deserve more than bare stone and armor everywhere. The echo of Padme's own thoughts makes her pause, and she studies Arla's face for a moment, then smiles.
It's your home, she says. Mandalore and Concord Dawn both. They fit me because they're where you are.
Arla breathes out, heavy, rough. She leans in, calloused hands cupping Padme's face, and kisses her. And Padme thinks that that's the best part of being home.
The end.
Reader's notes. Okay, all of this is amazing. I really, really deeply pondering and will continue to ponder of the thought process of how did Arla get where she is right now. But also, side note, Bridezilla's / say yes to the dress type of episode, where it is the armorer and Sabe, and it is entirely their perspective of planning the wedding because Beskar bracers or bracers in general are exchanged during the Mando wedding, situationship, ritual experience, wedding experience, trade bracers. And Sabe and OC Armorer planning the wedding. I love every part about this. Cross-cultural, weird space politics, bridesmaids. Level interplanetary shenanigans. The vision is beautiful. Thank you so much to Black Cat for having blanket permission to pontific. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.